We bought a house.
Okay, more technically, we are pending on a house over the weekend. We saw a house on Zillow on Thursday. We toured it on Friday and put an offer in on Friday. We heard back on Saturday night. So what we thought we would do is go through our checklist of things that we had just shared about a month and a half ago that we were looking for in a house and compare it to what we actually end. So a lot is different about the house that we got than what we are expecting.
An evolution of our priorities.
Less than a week ago.
So I have the transcript of your podcast episode about what you were looking for in a house. I legitimately don't remember what I...
We have looked, like he said last night, and one of the things he's most excited about having bought a house is closing the Zillow tab on his phone. We've looked at so many listings and gone in. We haven't gone into too many houses, but enough to get them all mixed up.
Right.
And it is so nice to know that we don't have to just looking anymore. But all right, so this is my list. Right off the bat, I said $350,000 or less. Rent, it's a lot higher than that. So we said 350. We ended up about 2 weeks ago dramatically increasing our pre-approval and being willing to expand our options, even if it meant a big change like switching schools. So we've shared before, our kids go to private school. We had wanted to do everything in our power to keep that, and it was not working. And that was not the only thing that was not working. There were a lot of things not working. But we could see that because there was so few inventory, if we removed the school payment from our budget, we could increase the pre-approval, the mortgage rate, or not the rate, the mortgage amount, and still be on budget. And that did, it didn't like open the floodgates of inventory and options, but it just marginally increased what was available to us. So that's what we ended up doing. Okay, so first one, strike one, way above 350. In the mid-fours. I don't want to hear it. In number, but in the mid-fours.
You said that we have no desire to find a forever home. Do you feel like this our forever home?
No. I feel like this is our get kids through school home. So our kids are finishing up fourth grade through preschool. And the house is, I can envision us living there while we're raising them. But I don't. I think that by the time we're like empty nesters or close to, our priorities would change on, like, I would basically want to transfer the space in the home from inside space to outside space as we got. What about you? Oh, yeah, this is my life. Yeah.
Daniel, we're aiming for a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bathroom or more, ideally more than 2,000 square feet.
Okay. It is a 5-bedroom, 3.5-bathroom with 3,000 finished square feet.
Check.
Is it done?
Yes.
Which, it's actually...
As a reminder, current house is...
like 1,800 finished square feet, and it is, I mean, we use it as a 3-bedroom. It has a bedroom on the first floor that we use as an office that I measured because I wanted to use it as our bedroom, and it doesn't have enough floor space for our bed, not only because of how small the bedroom is, but because it has these awkward, like, soffits, and it's not a square room. So it is. This house is technically a 4-bedroom, 1.5-bathroom house. So the last 18 months, a little over 18 months, we have had one shower for 6 people, and now we will have 3 showers.
Must have 3 bedrooms, an office space or somewhere that we can clearly picture Kyle being separate from everyone else's. I don't think I was if it was up.
That was boring. Okay.
When you didn't read it.
I know. He works remote from home 100% of the time. And this house has 4 bedrooms on the second floor and 1 bedroom in the basement. Full egress window, nice carpet, closet. So that bedroom basement will be his, I almost said his club, his office / music room. So in our office right now, he has his guitars and amps and music stuff. We have 2 desks with 2 computers too, which we probably don't that a little bit.
Yep.
But anyways, so yes, it checks that box. There is space for bedrooms for all of us as well. Not everyone had their own room. Space for the bedrooms and a totally separate office that is much more secluded from the main living area than we are right now. Right now, he's immediately next to the dining room and we have hardwood floor throughout. So as the kids come stampeding in the back door from school, it is loud in the office. And vice versa. I can very clearly hear all of his work conversations if I sit right here watching TV. So it will be very nice that he's in the basement and can have his work calls and meetings or play music at night. And it's 2 floors away from the bedrooms and then a full floor away from insulated floor away from the basement or the main floor compared to the basement. Check plus.
A large kitchen, open-ish floor plan.
Yeah, open-ish floor plan for sure. So it has kitchen, eat-in, dining area, and the living room all flow together in the back of the house. It's honestly a little more open floor plan than I would have been looking for, just because it is just wide open. And then there's a butler pantry connected from the kitchen to a dining room that is separate from the living room. And the dining room has double French doors and a pocket door, so it can totally be closed in. We probably will not use it as a formal dining room. I don't own 2 dining tables. I don't plan to own 2 dining tables in the near future. And so it could be more like it could have some desks for homework. It could have bookshelves. It could have a piano. It could have like a couch to be a room to like hang out in that doesn't have a TV. And so I like that it's not just one big open room and that's the only space to be hanging out. It is separate and does have doors that we can close. The kitchen's not huge. However, I have a galley kitchen that has a bathroom inside of it, quite literally. In this moment, that fan has a bathroom in the kitchen.
You can turn around from the stove, walk into the bathroom.
I could, no exaggeration, wipe someone's butt and stir noodles on the stove at the same time.
Have you done that?
No.
Good.
But I could. And so you can't do that in this house. Butts and kitchen and noodles. So the thing that I am most excited about in this kitchen that was like a wish list item, not a must-have item, is an island. Being very tall and having cabinets right in front of you while you're working on food, it like just makes you feel a little like cornered or claustrophobic to work on something. And there's just like a big cabinet right here. And so it does have, it's a small L kitchen, and then it has an island that faces the dining area and the living space. And then it also has, is it 9-foot ceilings? 8-foot or 9-foot ceilings. So it helps it to feel even bigger than it actually is. Just airy.
One of the other things that I believe on both of our lists was it was hatched garage. Do we get the hatch for?
We got the biggest garage we've ever seen.
Not just like, wow, this is a big garage. I am not joking that this is the largest garage that I think I've ever been in.
I feel like I've probably been in bigger floor space garages. It's a 3-car garage. So it's 2 stalls on the right and then a single door on the left. But the way the house is built, it like many other houses where when you come in the garage and you park, you have to go up some steps to get into the house. You have to go up like 7 or 8 steps. The house is built kind of up and the garage is not. And so because of that, the garage ceiling ends at a spot that makes sense for where like the gables of the house are, but the house is set up and the garage is not. So the garage has, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say 15-foot ceilings.
It's about, in most other layouts of a house like this, there would be another room on top of
over the garage, yeah. And there's not. There's no house over the garage.
So it's just really tall.
Yes. Like, even the listing said, you could put your, in the winter, you could put your basketball hoop in the garage and play basketball in the garage. And that's honestly what it feels like, because when we looked at it, it was totally empty, or at least didn't have vehicles and stuff. It feels like a half gym, like a gymnasium, because of how tall the ceilings are. And yeah, you could do that. Like, in the winter, I could pull the cars out and have a basketball hoop, or the kids could ride scooters around. It's enormous. So yeah, attached garage was a wish list item, not like a must have item. And this house delivers over and above.
Last thing that we'll talk about on your list, wanting to have a large yard for kids to go run around outside.
No, we didn't get that. This house has a small yard. I don't think I would have even been willing to put an offer on this house with how small the yard was if it wasn't for the fact that it's at the end, like a dead end of a road, and it has trees and open lots next to and behind it. So as you're in the house looking out, or as you're in the yard, you don't have like houses closing in on all sides of you where you're like facing, looking into someone else's kitchen, or like feeling like, you know, if they tossed a ball, they're going to knock someone's window out or something. It's not that. When you look out, you see green and trees, but they're not ours. So the lot is very small. The yard is very small. The yard would feel so much bigger if it weren't for a retaining wall that is about 4 or 5 feet off from the lot line. So there's the lot line, and then like 4 or 5 feet away from it, there's a retaining wall. And then the rest of the yard is like 2 feet lower than that and comes towards the house. So not a big yard. I think if you took all the yard area around the house and put it together, it'd be the same size as our current backyard, because we have no side yard in our current house at all. And we have an extremely small front yard with no driveway in this current house. So I think it would be like the same added together. It's just that it's in a perimeter around the house as opposed to all together in one area. There's a couple of things we could do. There's some awkward dying landscape that hasn't been like very well taken care of that could be ripped out. There's also a tree that was not planted. At least it did not appear to be that it was like intentionally planted. It looked like it was like a seed that just took root in the middle of the yard, and it's completely not only shaded but almost like has an overhang from larger trees, so it's not going to be able to grow very big. And if we took that smaller tree out, then there would be a small section of the backyard that was more open than it is now. But no, not a big yard at all. Very small yard. It does have a pergola over a patio. There's a concrete patio with a very nice wooden pergola over it. So the backyard will be beautiful. We have outside furniture already that if we put that out there, plus the porch lights that I already have under a pergola, is going to be a great space to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not going to be a huge area of like sprint in all directions. And so what did you say when we were like, oh, well, we don't have space for the kids to run, but we're not very far from.
Yeah, I think with a lot of things we've been viewing, looking for a house, just with the eyes of parents with young kids, and we still are in that phase, but we won't be for very much longer. And this house, like Carly said, we're not interested in finding a forever home. Truly, but you know, we want to be there for and most of the time that we plan on being there, our kids will not be in the little kid phase where you just say go outside and play. We maybe got a couple of years of that left, honestly, before they're much more interested in walking to a friend's house or riding their bikes around the neighborhood or going out away from the house.
So a few things that it will provide as the kids get older. So we have 3 sons that are 3.5 years apart. So they'll all be teenagers at the same time.
That's pretty him.
Saying that out loud is just like filled with fear. And the house will be amazing for teenagers. So we haven't even talked about the basement yet. But the basement has a big finished family room that's bigger than the first 4-floor family room and has like 8-foot ceilings. Like it was, we walked down the stairs when we were looking at the house, and our realtor and both of us were like, look at how tall the ceilings are. Because you just don't go into a basement expecting the ceiling to feel really high above you. So it's this big open living room that I could just, as soon as we walked in, I was like, teenager hang out room right away. There's a full bathroom down there so they can stay down there and hang out. And then because it's a 3-car garage, a lot of concrete on the driveway. So like nighttime basketball games, like I can picture all of that, fire pit in the backyard that you could have a bunch of people at. And so it's like, yeah, like you said, it would be harder if our kids were all really little, like a few years ago when they were, you know, like 6, 4.5, 3, and 1. And so going outside was like a means of survival of like spread out and find something to do and stuff. But we're really on the cusp of the hangout time changing dramatically. And yeah, like you said, being old enough to like ride their own bikes to go play basketball at the school or go to a park with their friends without us. So we're not far away from that at all. So it's definitely like we learned throughout the process of losing houses that we had put offers in or just seeing houses that had a lot more downsides than upsides. We knew we were going to have to make concessions. And so this small yard is absolutely one of the primary, if not the main concession that we're making with this house. As I thought about it and tried to figure out if I'm okay with that, we're coming out of winter right now. It's mid-April. We're still having a lot colder days than I would have hoped for. And it helps me to have the perspective that there's several months in a row every single year where we're not really outside. So getting everything and more beyond what we could ask for inside the house and then making a concession on the outside of the house, I came to terms with that being something that was acceptable.
I think a lot of, if I remember correctly, both of our lists were pretty similar in a lot of ways. You want to scan through with transcript of all of my wish list and want list stuff.
You said you'd be pumped about anything that was around 3, but 300 to 350 is more realistic for what's available, what we're able to retain.
What?
So, and the main calculus in that is not that we like skyrocketed our income or something, or we're like taking on more house than we can actually do. At that time, we were not planning to change our school plans at all. And so that freed up, over $1,000 to go, that could go from school payment towards a house payment and keep our budget identical. And that expanded the ceiling of what we were willing to buy. You said you wanted to close in July.
I think the reason that I said that was because what a long overlap between our current rental and a mortgage payment. With how everything works out, I think we'll only have 1 month of overlap of a mortgage payment and a rent payment on our current lease. So,
if you're not paid once a month, why are you budgeting that way? A monthly budget ignores the fact that sometimes your expenses are due before the next paycheck is available. A pay period budget is built around your unique pay schedules so that your money doesn't feel like a mess. Create an accurate, realistic plan for getting the most out of each paycheck. Get started budgeting by pay period today with the best-selling budget template and mini course from me, Debt Free Mom. It's available for just $9 at debtfreemom.co/template. I spent years feeling frustrated that my money wasn't working the way it should. It wasn't until I discovered the magic of budgeting by pay period rather than by month that my money started to feel stable. Pay Period Budget Academy is my signature budgeting course that helps hundreds of women take control of their home finances. Join today at debtfreemom.co/PBA and use the code podcast at checkout to get 20% off your membership.
So we'll close sometime in May and prepay and all that stuff at closing. And then our first actual mortgage payment will be in July. Our rent lease ends at the end of August. So we'll have July 1st and August 1st. But we're hoping to either pay in the August rent and then get our security deposit back, or if we move out before August 1st, ask our landlord to apply the security deposit to August 1st. But either of those options would then result in just July being the only month where we pay for both. And that was something we kind of also knew or came to terms with over time, was if we're trying to time it right and thread the needle of like, this is the one month that we can close on a house and still like fulfill our lease and find something, we would get down to the wire of potentially running into the lease ending and not having a house. So we just kind of considered possibly double paying rent 1 or 2 months as part of our moving cost. Ensuite bathroom for our bedroom.
We got it.
We got it. We have lived in like 5 or 6 different.
Since we got married.
Yeah. And we've had a connected bathroom once. For 4 years out of 13 and a half years. 4 years out of 13 and a half years, we've had a bathroom that's connected to our bedroom, and we will now have a bathroom with our hat. Jetted tub that's separate from the shower, double vanity with a walk-in closet and a linen closet. And do we have 2 dishwashers? Shout out to Jackie, because I know she'll listen to this.
I don't, but...
So in the there's no kitchen in the basement. There's definitely room. There's a like the small wall that shares with the
no kitchen in the basement. Anybody else have a kitchen in the basement? Not like a full kitchen in the basement.
Is that a kitchen use? A lot of people have kitchen.
Throw it off in the comments. Who has a kitchen in their basement? Like and subscribe.
Okay. Hey, jeez. That's like a sharp plan. There would be space in the kitchen, in the basement to add like a kitchenette wall, like a wet bar and a dishwasher and beverage fridge or something. But no, we do not have 2 dishwashers. We have 1.
What did you call it? There was the business.
It was the business first.
And the fun dishwashers.
Oh, yeah.
The fun dishwasher was the
place. I don't remember what the other one was called, but yeah, mine was the fun dishwasher, which was just
everything is just put it
in there. New construction versus old. Do you want a new house versus an old house? Old house. This house was built in 2013.
It was in my mind. Okay. I thought I was making it up.
Which is extremely new in our world, because... when was this house built?
1886. That's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not an exaggeration. Like, the people who built this house had memories of the Civil War.
Yeah.
So 150 years newer. Which has its perks and could have its downsides. There are certain modern amenities that we're not accustomed to. And... and like a lot of people will see my videos, and I don't even realize that this is abnormal, because our previous house was built in 1936. And so the dishwasher was separate, like on a separate wall of the kitchen from the sink. And so in this current house, it's a little bit closer than it was at our previous one, but it's still like separate. And every once in a while, I get a message like, why is your dishwasher not next to your sink? And I'm always just like, this house was built in 1886. And so they put it where they could find a spot for it. So the house was built in 2013, and you will be so happy to know that the dishwasher is next to Another thing that we weren't at all, like, I didn't carry it away. We weren't specifically looking for it at all. But this has a gas stove and oven, which we'd never had before. So I'll have a gas stove to get used to cooking.
Okay, location.
We haven't fully tested on. So our kids will be going to different schools. We're also moving about 25 minutes away from where we are right now, which we are very sad about. So it's been lots of good discussion between us and with our kids about how things can be good and hard at the same time. So 25 minutes away for a lot of people would be like, I don't even understand why that causes an emotional response in you. This is the town that Kyle and I grew up in, and both of our parents still live here, and we'll be leaving a school that we love and friends that we love. I also envisioned my kids going to the same junior high and high school that we attended. We loved it for lots of reasons, but it's very academically strong and has a phenomenal, like, top in the state music program. And we're not doing that like we thought we were. We're still going. We're going to another great school district. The main, you want to talk about why the main reason we were okay with moving to this area?
It was honestly, one week we had been already exploring some houses over in that area.
Mostly because we were like, we're not finding anything here. Yeah. We're going to have to expand our radius.
1 week ago, we spent the afternoon with some friends after church.
The whole day.
Like, we went over there to have lunch, and we got home at like 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We, on the drive home, we just had this realization that we have to make a very special effort to spend time with not just this family, but a lot of our friends, because they do, they all live over in this side town. We're kind of the lone family who lives.
And we were okay with that, and we were totally fine with driving. Like, we were happy to drive to see people. But we knew that there's a different kind of level of friendship that doesn't come when you live 30 minutes apart from each other. Your time together is scheduled and it's like blocked off. And especially with kids in school, it's not during the week, it's on the weekends. And this group of friends, the five families, what is that problem? It's the office. It's the five families. So.
But also like Italian.
Okay. Well, I only know the office word. But there are five other families, or we speak to some? Five others.
There,
Five couples with kids similar ages to us, where the women all get together regularly and are genuine friends, all six of us. The men meet regularly and are genuine friends, all six of them. And the kids get along phenomenally. It's like, once in a lifetime, like, you don't have all three of those be true at the same time and live really close to each other.
We'd spend the afternoon with this family, and I remember standing in this room the next day. We're going over the pros and cons of, do we look in our current town? Do we look over where near our friends live? Remember saying, it's so rare to find a group of friends like we have, and we found them. And then I got choked up after I said that. I was like, we don't want
to not expand. So for the record, when we started looking, I was much more okay with, so our church is over there and all of our friends are over there. I was much more okay with, like, maybe it's time to move schools and to move towns, and we're still 25 minutes away from our parents. Like, that's not far. And he really wanted to stay here, which was fine. So that's what we looked for, because I like being here in this town. So you did not have to convince me of anything. I was like, okay, great. If you want to be here, we'll be here. And then over time, not having these doors closed, honestly, looking back, is that these doors were closing. And so we looked in other places, and having the friendships that we have and the door of the opportunity to live close to them and attend their same school as them in the fall. It happened.
I said, there's no other way to describe it except really God provided.
Yeah. Like I think instead of having a feeling of like God is slamming this door in our face and closing it, it was like he's very kindly, slowly closed the door on a dream that we thought we had and then swung the door wide open in a new dream. And the reaction of our friends to the news that we're moving over there immediately sealed the deal for me. I mean, like, phones blowing up of, like, everyone being so excited that we're moving over there. And, like, here's the preschool to go to. And we usually go to Aldi on Mondays. And just, like, all of the little things where I was, like, this is what we were hoping it would be. And it's already being like that before we even move. So we've talked to the kids. The kids know. So for anyone that like knows us in real life is listening to this, our children know it's not a secret. We had slowly talked to them about the possibility over that week once we had decided that. They were iffy. Like, I mean, they were definitely, I would be sad. I would be going to a different school than my friends. I don't want to go to a new school. And then once we actually had a specific house as opposed to it being very abstract, and we could show them pictures and we showed them the front of the house. They haven't been inside, but we have. But they've been to the outside. They're warming up to it. It's such a good life lesson to be able to walk side by side with them through the reality that something can be good and hard at the same time, that it can be sad and the right thing to do at the same time. And so we know that we're going to have to be really proactive on helping them just build some emotional intelligence about holding two things that should be opposite at the same time. I'm nervous to go to a new school and I'm excited to live close to my friends from church. And I'm sad to not be as close to my grandparents and I'm happy that we have a bigger house. So just helping them walk through all of those emotions because we are feeling them at the same time. I've cried when telling both of our sets of parents just because of like what that meant. Mm-hmm. And just reminding myself that it doesn't mean that it's the wrong choice. Yeah. So to end it, do you want to tell the story of like we put in an offer and like how we found out and it got accepted and competing offers and stuff?
Yeah. It was listed Thursday. We saw it piled on Friday. Right before that, we saw another house that had been on the market for a while. And based on the pictures, we're like, well, these aren't great pictures, but maybe it's better in person. And it was worse. It was bad.
Before we went, we looked at the two houses on Zillow, and we knew if we want either of them, we're going to have to move fast. Like, we're going to have to place an offer that day if we want either of them. So the night before, as one does, spreadsheet it up, lay it all out with, like, this is what the mortgage payment would be. This is what we could put down. This is what we could offer. And compare the side by side, and the house that we actually are buying is the one that I, based on Zillow alone, preferred. And Kyle preferred the opposite one, the one that had a much lower price, because we would then have a very wide margin in our budget to make it our own and make updates to it, make repairs, and maybe get that money back.
But ultimately, the things that we didn't like about that first one were the things you can't change easily, at least. The layout of the rooms and the size and space and just how our family. We wrote that one off immediately. We went crossing the
street. Yeah, we wrote it off before we even saw it. It wasn't like, oh, let's see both and compare. Like, we left that one being like, no.
So the one that we ended up getting, put an offer after talking with our realtor and gave them a deadline of the next day on Saturday. The seller had an open house scheduled for Saturday afternoon. So we knew we were going to be up against several offers of people who was coming in and seeing and then submitting an offer there. And honestly, we weren't optimistic because we've done that a few times already and seen enough house.
The offer we placed was at the, like, almost the very top of our budget and what we were pre-approved for. So we didn't have room if they came back and asked for more. Like, it was just, we lost.
We were over family's house for dinner while our offer was set to expire that we hadn't really heard of. And so we assumed that our realtor texted us minutes before our offer was set to expire and said, the buyers have several offers on the table. They want a little bit more time to consider them. Could you extend your deadline? So we pushed our expiration deadline back a few hours, and the seller kind of sorted through things, all the new offers that had come in from their open house. A little while later, our realtor called and said, they have three offers that they're considering. One of them is yours. They all are very similar. Is there anything that you want to do to adjust your offer to make it more attractive?
So our realtor had used an escalation clause where we gave an offer, but then we said we would also be willing to pay $10,000 over the highest outbid, the highest bid above our original bid, up to a cap. So it was basically like we gave a range of, if we're the only offer, this is what we're paying. But we're only getting beat out by $2,000. We will pay $10,000 over that competing offer. And so I think they had gotten like eight offers total, and they had chosen three as like their top three for whatever reason. Thankfully, I know I've mentioned this before on Instagram specifically about people buying houses without an inspection. And we've said like, we're not doing that. And so we had put an inspection into our offer, and they said that one of the three was as is, or at least some of their offers were as is, no inspection, but others had inspections. So we weren't like the only ones that were asking for an inspection. So thankfully she was like, you don't need to remove the inspection. That's not going to be like what helps you.
And because our offer was close to the top of what we felt like we could afford, we said we can't up the offer price.
Yeah, because they basically came back to those three. They didn't ask anything specifically, but they came back to those three and just said, what's your best offer? Like, do you want to change anything?
We decided to keep our offer as it was. The only thing that we changed was the aggregate for the inspection. That just means the level that we set. We, as the buyers, will cover repairs up to a set amount. And if it exceeds that, then the seller will be responsible for paying repairs above that amount. So what we said is we'll raise that threshold slightly so that we'll basically like take the seller off the hook for a little bit more if inspection comes back poorly. I think we were the only offer that, because I got a call from our realtor about an hour later that it was like close to 10 p.m. at night. You got it.
It was like 9:30 p.m. the day before Easter. We're at family's house. I get super nervous on phone calls, so she called me and I gave him my phone.
And she said the thing that put you over was changing that.
The chances of them finding a repair that costs between $7,000 and $8,000 is so small that we didn't feel like we were very minimally risking any additional money being paid. And so we decided to do that as opposed to adding even a single thousand to our offer. And honestly, when we did that, I thought we lost. Like when we decided, you know, this is the tippy top of our price range. We're just, because we're in this competition where you get swept up in the moment of wanting to win. So you add, you know, more than you should. We decided we would rather lose the house than add more to our price, even if it means we'll be really bummed about losing this house. So we stuck with what we knew was in our budget. We stuck to the budget. We changed the aggregate because, again, it's more like a concession to make them feel more comfortable than it is a, like, if we change the price by $1,000, we're guaranteed to have to pay $1,000. If we change the aggregate by $1,000, we're possibly paying $1,000, but it's actually quite unlikely. But they took our little tiny tweak as an indication that because we were the one that changed something out of the three, that we were the ones that wanted it most. So now we just have to like move towns and schools and places and grocery stores and
rule our things.
Change our budget entirely and have every little thing that we own. Lots to come on the actual process. We're now in the process of like submitting all the right paperwork to our mortgage inspection is scheduled. Yeah. Moving ahead. So a month from now, possibly less, we will have the keys to a new house, and then we just have work our butts off, keep going with all of our jobs and businesses and things to keep it flowing. We will keep updating as we know things. Obviously, once we're inside of the house, they can actually show around the house, but we are just super, super, super thrilled and super surprised because it felt so unlikely when we offered on it, and it felt like a pipe dream to live in a house that looked like that and had that space and had that layout. And so I feel like we're still pinching ourselves that we were picked and that we're moving forward.
How much do you want to share, Lynn?
I'm legitimately like gonna anything related to podcasting. No one's pretty
rarely. This whole podcast. I'm going to double it.
Huh? I'll just take that out.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.